first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, it's good to be home on Spouting Off Friday. Karen Cataline, your host for Spouting Off Friday. It's not just Spouting Off Friday on BBS Radio and the K-Star Radio Network. It is Cash Friday, so don't forget to go out, spend some cash. And if they tell you they don't have change, demand change. Don't allow them to take your money or carry extra change and pay in cash. Those people who are pushing a cashless society are doing so because they want to push a surveilled society. That and so much more. We have a lot to talk about. We also have a wonderful guest for at least some or part of this hour. I want to talk a little bit about my latest piece because, well, I was a little inspired and I just came off 2 hours of radio for another program in which I'm gonna tape my friend Pastor Stephen Grant singing "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," because it's perfect. It's perfect for what is going on right now. You have to have been living under a rock if you haven't been watching that the shelves are going bare once again. They are trying to create panic. They are trying to create another shortage of people. But more than that, and this is one of the big beefs I have with fellow commentators that I talk to, talk show hosts, whatever. They still think this is incompetence. Afghanistan, it starts with a vowel. Was Afghanistan incompetence or was it deliberate? Can you leave all of our weapons to our enemies and leave citizens, which is an atrocity, American citizens, to die or be captured or be held hostage? Seriously? And have that be simply incompetence? No, and frankly, hell no. What we are watching is the furthest thing from incompetence. It's deliberate. And the presidential potted plant is just the face of it, but he's not making these decisions. He's not. It's easy to blame him. And yes, we can because he's sitting there. But you know what? He's not in charge. And anybody who's watching knows it. He's not in charge. But what are they doing right now? There's an old phrase, the government breaks your leg and then hands you a crutch. But now it's worse than that. The government breaks your leg, then they break your other leg, and then they stand over you and say, I have so much compassion that you can't walk. So they virtue signal about an affliction that they caused, and they tell you not only are they your betters and they have moral superiority over you, but they tell you that they have the height of compassion for your predicament. That's what they tell you. So now, because it is obvious that there are ships that cannot deliver goods sitting in the Pacific, off California of all places, tons of them, tons of goods cannot be delivered. And from what I hear lately, the people on those ships are just abandoning those ships. They're just abandoning them. They're leaving. Truckers, there's more than 25% shortage of truckers cannot deliver those goods to you and me or anyone else. And guess what? It's just in time for the holidays. The holidays. Everyone knows what the holidays mean. It means it starts with Halloween, which is not a big deal. But right after that, it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then, of course, the New Year. We've seen for decades that the hateful, Grinchy left hates American holidays because they hate America. They hate all of this. They've shown they hate Memorial Day. They certainly hate Veterans Day. We just got through Columbus Day, which they've tried to destroy. And boy, oh boy, do they hate Thanksgiving and then Christmas, for the simple reason that Thanksgiving and Christmas are quintessentially American holidays, as well as Independence Day. Oh, well, they don't want a holiday that celebrates America's birthday, and they sure don't want a holiday that celebrates independence. So all of it is an anathema to the hateful communist, socialist, authoritarian left who have unmasked themselves in a stellar way in going on 2 years. We now know who these people are. A lot of people have R's after the name, and they have stayed earth-shatteringly quiet. Their silence has been deafening, hasn't it? They haven't stood up for any of this. They haven't stood up for the American people. They haven't stood up for liberty, and they certainly haven't stood up for the Constitution. Where are they? They're busy getting bribed, blackmailed, or whatever else in order to do the bidding, so perhaps they will be eaten last. Well, I'm sorry, that's not good enough. Let's get back to Thanksgiving and Christmas. If you've listened to me for any time at all, you know I'm not a Christian, but Christmas is an American holiday. It isn't just an American holiday, but it is most certainly an American holiday. It has been celebrated since the founding of this country by Christian founders and who revered the Judeo-Christian principles upon which this country was founded. And boy, does the communist left hate that. They hate all of it. Remember when Donald Trump said, "Merry Christmas"? Doesn't it feel good to say that? He was the one who had the courage to stand up and say, "Merry Christmas." Two little words. You know, little words, short words, instead of a verbose talk show host like myself, are sometimes getting through where long articles do not. Words like, "Let's go, Brandon." The story of "Let's Go, Brandon" is everybody, many, many people know, but it really is shorthand for F Joe Biden. Once again, censorship backfired and people got to see who these people really are. Across college campuses, of all places, college campus football games, we're hearing F Joe Biden. And because the media felt the need to lie, just like Baghdad Bob, they said, "Oh, they're saying, 'Let's go, Brandon.'" So now "Let's go, Brandon" means F Joe Biden, and it's only gotten bigger and gone more viral. But let me get back to my piece, because we have a guest coming up here shortly, so I got to shorten the verbosity and get to it. So the piece that I wrote, very short, 2-minute piece at my website, KarenCataline.com, "Coming Attractions, How the Left Stole Christmas." That's what they want to do. Thanksgiving and Christmas are the epitome of what the left hates about America. Faith, family, prosperity, commerce, free markets, joy, gratitude, the celebration of unity, liberty, and, oh, God forbid, peace on earth. Well, we can't have that. And they sure don't like commerce, right? And boy, they don't like small businesses that look forward all year to get into the black. Oh, you can't say that. That's racist. And you can't say the commerce that they're trying to shut down for Christmas sounds just an awful, awful lot like Dr. Seuss's "How the Grinch Stole Christmas." And what do you know? The left tried to cancel Dr. Seuss, too. They didn't succeed, but they wanted to. I'm wondering how the hard left people in on Broadway who put together a musical called Seussical and made tons of money, now suddenly have decided that Dr. Seuss is racist too. Well, if you realize, and you should, that anything these tyrants, these petty tyrants, want to destroy, eradicate, and control, mostly destroy, all you have to do is call it racist. Even an inanimate object, like Mr. Potato Head. If you want to get rid of something, call it racist, and you can ban it. That's what they do. But worse, this planned, orchestrated supply chain crisis that we've been watching, we knew it was coming. We saw just a hint of it during the toilet paper shortage and so forth, but this is an attack on small businesses. It's an attack on capitalism. But more importantly, it's an attack on Christmas and on America and American holidays. But just because I'm a nice Jewish girl who isn't so nice, I know how the Grinch Stole Christmas ends. I was a kid when we used to watch that cartoon. I watched the Charlie Brown Christmas with an unabashed Christian message at the end. That's another reason they hate Dr. Seuss, who died long before these people were born, most of them. The Grinch thinks he's going to cancel Christmas by getting rid of the tinsel, the decorations, the presents, and even the roast beast. And he's mistaken. He can't believe his eyes when the Who's in Whoville, still, Christmas is stronger, louder, and more powerful than ever. And there they are, singing Christmas hymns at the end, that it finally melts the Grinch's heart. And his heart grew two sizes bigger that day when he saw that he could not destroy Christmas, he could not destroy faith, and he couldn't destroy, let's hope, America. Now, do I believe that these baby doc dictators are going to learn the lesson that the Grinch learned? No. No, we need a new parody called The Government Grinches, because as sure as I'm sitting here, they are attacking Christmas and Thanksgiving. I know you think I might be a conspiracy theorist, but I watched them shut down the country right before St. Patrick's Day. They hate American holidays. The Chinese communists are directing many of these sold-out swino politicians, left and right, to sell out the country. And so Chinese communists and communists in general of all stripes in and out of this country, they hate God. They hate people of faith. They hate masculinity. They hate America. They hate Israel. You know, for people who've been lecturing everyone else about hate, they're pretty hateful people, aren't they? You better believe they are. They are the hatefulest. So, here's hoping that this holiday season, without, even if you don't have the roast beast or the presents or the decorations, that Christians and Jews, you can read the piece, will rediscover their faith more than ever before. That's what we need from this holiday season. Oh, yeah, and go out and buy a side of beef, too, would you? That would be great. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to shift gears completely and talk about a subject that I think is fascinating. That's why I invited this next guest on. So, Karen Cataline on Cash Friday and Spouting Off Friday here on the BBS Radio Network and on the K-Star Radio Network. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I'm Karen Cataline, and I hope you're planning on having a wonderful weekend. But before then, go out and buy something in cash. I just love it. It's a way for you personally to show your defiance. We must defy tyranny. I hope that in the Twitterverse will make trend the hashtag to defy tyranny. There's only one way to stop tyranny, and it's to defy it. Because if you comply with tyranny, what do you get? You just get more tyranny. So you have to defy tyranny, think for yourself, dare to question, and dare to speak out, because that's what they don't want. We have a whole blueprint here of exactly what they don't like. Think for yourself. Question everything, including me, for God's sake. All of it. We have a wonderful guest talking about a subject that I appreciate, particularly in light of this, what I see as an attack on men, not women, an attack on individuality for sure, and to smear people of certain groups regardless of their individual behavior. And to give certain groups passes and other groups smear them no matter what. Like if you're white, you're guilty. If you're black, you're innocent. I mean, that is not only intellectually dishonest, but it's depraved. It's depraved. It's unjust. So to that end, we have Ann Silvers. She is author of Abuse of Men by Women. And then the subtitle is It Happens, It Hurts, and It's Time to Get Real About It. Wow, that's a pretty cool title. And welcome to Spouting Off, Ann Silvers.
Thank you for having me.
It is so great to have you. So first off, give us a little more of your background. I don't have as much background as I'd like. I know I see it says you're a counselor and a relationship coach, analyst living in Washington State. Oh my God. I bet you got some stories there. Tell us a little more about your background and what made you decide to write a book like Abuse of Men by Women.
So my first career was not counseling. My first career was actually microbiology. And then I stayed home with my kids, and I decided that when I went back into the paid workforce, I wanted to become a counselor. So eventually I went back to school, started all over, did the various degrees so that I could be a counselor. And when I started my practice, and I'll say that along the way, one of the things that I was interested in was partner abuse. And the education I was getting and the mindset I had was very much focused on men abusing women. Mm. So I've got a strong academic background in that. And my parents were abusive people as well. It goes back generations in my family. And then when I was starting my counseling practice, I had a male friend who was telling me his stories about being abused by his wife. And I actually minimized them initially and then realized, no, this is really happening. And it just opened my eyes. And I began to realize that I was actually missing it in my clients when women were abusing men. And as I started talking about the subject, just like I'd be talking about in a public setting, like a party, and men would come from the far reaches of the room. I don't even know how they heard me talking about it, but they came over to tell me their stories. And And as time went on, I realized that clients that I had that I wanted to send for, you know, resources, there weren't. There was not resources for them. And a lot of
what's available. Because it's not supposed to happen, right? It's just
exactly.
not supposed to happen.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah. There's a lot going yeah. against people recognizing it.
Yeah.
And so there was a lack of resources.
That doesn't fit the stereotype, does it, of women being victims. That's the stereotype. Women are victims. Men are perpetrators. Never the twain shall meet. So tell us why that is yet another platitude that doesn't fit in the real world.
Well, people tend to look at things either or. You know, so they tend to look at men are this way, women are the exact opposite, or vice versa. So they look at men as strong, women as weak, women as honest, men as liars. You know, you get all of this opposites view. And so they've tended to look at it like that, and that men are strong, men are supposed to fix things, men aren't supposed to have problems. They're certainly not supposed to talk about their problems if they've got them. Mm-hmm. And I think that this contributes to the silence that there is. The silence from men who are in these situations, and the silence culturally that yeah.
Well,
there
and
isn't
we're living in
awareness.
A time. We're living in a time where people are actually being encouraged to label and make broad brush generalities about people based on whatever group they belong to. I mean, that used to be frowned upon, and people wanted to limit those kind of broad generalities and try to see people as individuals. Now we've got people, even in the mental health field, in politics, unelected bureaucrats, medical tyrants, whatever, trying to broad brush label everybody. And this is part of that, it seems like. So,
yes, yeah, certainly the male stereotypes, female stereotypes get in mm-hmm. the way of seeing what's real.
Yeah, and yeah. we certainly have seen how the admonishments of liberals, mostly, who have talked about racist stereotypes, only made the way for them to stereotype everyone else, because we've seen again and again how, speaking of a mental health principle of projection, it's a political tactic now. Whatever you want to do, you just accuse everyone else of. So when you get ready to do it, whether it's bullying, whether it's stereotyping, whether it's calling Trump a dictator, when they are now being the dictators, it's a political tactic. I don't know if you want to comment on that, but...
Not really.
I'm getting carried away here, all right? Let's go back to what's the frequency of women abusers of men, and what is it we need to know that we don't know? And this is the bulk of what we're going to talk about how yeah. How to combat it.
Yeah, you know, I think frequency is a challenging question to answer. I don't really trust the stats very much on this. I think that there's a big hesitancy for men to admit that they are being abused. So I think it's vastly underreported. There's numbers that get thrown around, making it possible that it's very close in frequency, whether women are abusing men or men are abusing men are abusing women. Mm-hmm. I've seen some stats that sound pretty good to me, and it's sort of general, but that in about a third of the cases, the man would, if there's physical abuse, the man would be the instigator. In about a third of the cases, the woman is the instigator. In about a third of the cases, it's mutual.
Hmm. And we're talking about physical abuse now, not just self-defense. A lot of us have never even heard about it before. So what do we need to know here?
We need to know that when women strike men, when women use other means of physical abuse against men, it's harmful. you know, we minimize it. We even applaud it or encourage it, that, you know, a woman can slap a man. It's not okay. Mm-mm. And then we're talking, when we're talking physical, and there's more forms of partner abuse. There's 7 forms of partner abuse. Physical abuse is one of them. And we often think, well, the guy's bigger, so, you know, she can't really hurt him. But women who are smaller than their partner have end arounds. They can strike when the man is somehow unaware, like from behind, or when he's driving, you know, he's incapacitated in some way. One of the men in my book woke up in the middle of the night to being hit with the clock radio by his wife.
What?
So being
in the middle of the night while he was sleeping?
Yes. Wow. Yes. And they had not even had a fight before. She was.
I mean, not interesting, but it's hard for us to even imagine that, because you know what? And it never is portrayed in Hollywood movies. Hollywood movies are always portray the woman as the victim. Or if she does something like that, like Lorena Bobbitt, remember, who dismantled his member.
Right.
She did it with, at least it was said, and I don't know, that she was doing it because she was a victim and she had been long abused. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's always done under the guise of I'm defending myself. Hitting someone with a clock radio unprovoked, and no one can say that being provoked is a reason to use violence either, not something I think I've ever seen in movies. It goes against the leftist narrative. It goes against the Hollywood narrative. And frankly, it goes against the cultural narrative too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it goes against the macho narrative. Yeah,
Because macho can never be loving, too. That's another story. But what other stories are you aware of in which women are abusers? And then we'll maybe get into what causes women to be abusers. I mean, we've certainly analyzed the life out of what causes men to be abusers. Humans are sadly capable of this sort of thing.
Well, so there's a lot there in what you asked. So one thing is to mention that there are 7 forms of partner abuse. So physical abuse being one.
We're going to go back into that again. We have time.
Okay.
But we only have a minute in this segment. So that's the first thing we're going to do when we get back, is talk about the 7 forms, because we have the luxury of time here. But also give me a short answer to what I asked before, and then we'll talk about the 7 forms.
So an example, I got a call yesterday from a 72-year-old man who, in his first marriage, which was lengthy, she beat him often. And it wasn't until he went to work with a cut on his face, and another man, in questioning him and finally getting answers from him about what happened, said to him, "You're an abused man." And until that moment, it didn't click for him that this wasn't okay. And he stayed because of the kids. He eventually then divorced and is happily married. But he actually wants people to know his story so that he can help others recognize, you know, women are sometimes beating on men. And what he would do is put his hands in his back pocket, so that he would not hit her, because he was afraid he would hurt her. So many times men are being beaten, and they don't, and rightfully so, they don't hit back because they could hurt her. But they also feel very trapped. They don't know what
else to
do.
Let's take a break. Let's take our break. And when we come back, we'll continue with that story and talk about the 7 forms of abuse. We're talking to Ann Silvers, and we'll come back on Spouting Off right after this.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at kstarradionetwork.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome back. It is Karen Cataline, and yes, you're listening to Spouting Off here on the K-Star Radio Network and our home base BBS Radio. Just as a little program note, you can listen to two other episodes of Spouting Off out of Nashua, New Hampshire, 1590 AM, WSMN and 95.3 FM, every Tuesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. And if you're listening live, you can call in too. So you can listen live at www.wsmn.live. And you can even call in, especially in the first segment. Or you can get the podcasts at the website wsmn.live. So we are expanding our reach here, exercising our First Amendment rights, and here to help us with a fascinating topic, which in my opinion sort of feeds into the whole idea that people are being reduced to labels after a lot of leftists told us don't do racist stereotypes, and yet everyone else is now being stereotyped. Men are abusers and women are victims. No, people are individuals, and you have to consider each individual person and situation and all the rest. We are speaking with counselor, relationship coach, analyst living in Washington, D.C., Ann Silvers, and author of the book Abuse of Men by Women. It happens, it hurts, and it's time to get real about it. Thanks for staying with us, Ann Silvers. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So when we last, right before the break, we were talking about examples of situations in which women are the abuser. They just are. So give us another example, because I don't think a lot of people are familiar with the kinds of things that have actually happened. I'm sure you have several case histories in your book.
Oh, very many. Yes. And we talked a little bit about there's physical abuse is one kind of abuse, and it's happening male to female and female to male, and other gender configurations as well. And that there's other forms of partner abuse. And we can see any of these forms of partner abuse can happen in any gender configuration. So yes, we have verbal abuse, sexual abuse, financial, legal, spiritual, emotional, psychological. And any of those kinds of abuses can be showing up in cases where a woman is abusing her boyfriend or her husband.
Uh-huh. Okay, so give us a story or two. Might as well get into this just so people know this is a real thing, it really happens, and people are not automatons. They are not defined by their gender or any other superficial thing. It's the decisions they make.
Yeah. So if we return to physical abuse, it can be things like, women throwing things or, you know, scratching. A man was telling me that his wife would often, like, come up to him from behind and jump on him and scratch him. That was one of her tactics. There's a man who his wife would hit him, and she would also engage her teenage sons, who were his stepchildren, in the hitting. So the stepchildren would also hit him. And she would also do things like block the exit if he would try and leave. She would position her car in the driveway behind his so he would not be able to exit using his car. And he had, he was a big guy, professional. He had a lot of shame around that this was happening to him, as a lot of men do. They're very, they're silent about it. They don't know where to go with it. They feel it's not manly for this to be happening to them.
Yeah.
And it's so important that I so appreciate you having this conversation so that more men can realize it's happening. If it's happening to them, they are not some freak that is the only person this is happening to. And
and if there's a taboo against hitting women, which there is, and as you rightly pointed out, I mean, we're glad about that because violence begets violence. Self-defense sometimes stops things. But if a man is going to be shamed for defending himself or fighting back, which in this culture he would, then that in a paradoxical way actually makes him more of a sitting duck because she knows he's not going to fight back, right?
Yes, that's true. And I, you know, I want to make it clear, I'm not that that guy should not fight back.
I understand. We understand.
And I hear
it's like we feel so obligated to say the obvious, but let's say it anyway.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
And but it's a really important thing for us to be talking about because there's a lot of elements to this. We need to also be training little girls not to hit boys. And the opposite of that is happening, unfortunately, where we are glorifying the idea of females hitting males. It's in our romantic comedies.
That? In your opinion, how are we doing that?
You mean like an example of how
that? Or? You're saying it, and it sounds plausible to me. So I'd just like you to expand a little bit on how it is that we are helping women or training women to hit men, and how is that happening culturally?
Yeah. So in my book, I talked about there was one year at the Super Bowl, there was a commercial and it was for a soda company. And in the commercial, a man and a woman are sitting at a park bench. And I don't remember what goes on between the two of them. Nothing terrible. You know, what she does next is not out of any kind of self-defense. She throws the soda can at him, hits his head, and obviously hurts him.
Uh-huh.
But it's made okay. The company is using this as a way to promote their product. Like, this is so okay.
Wow.
So that's an example.
Well, because if you decide that,
comedies.
let me just say, Anne, if you decide that a whole group of people are evil and are perpetrators, which is what we are seeing across the board for certain groups are victims, certain groups are perpetrators, then you've just justified doing anything you want to them, haven't you?
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
And it's even in our children's movies. So the movie Frozen. At the end of the movie Frozen, now there's a bad guy in the movie. He tries to hurt one of the female main characters. But at this point, it's the end of the movie, and the girl is not under current threat at all. And they're standing at a dock, and the girl hits the guy so hard that he falls off the dock.
Uh-huh.
And it's not self-defense. It's revenge. And this is a children's movie that a child might watch 200 times. You know, kids sit and watch a movie over and over again.
And they do. They do watch that movie 1,200 times, don't they?
Yeah. And so what are we doing? We're both teaching the girl it's okay and even good to hit a boy. And we're teaching the boy it's okay for a girl to hit him.
And so what makes, if it's different, I don't know if it's different. And of course, there are many, many opinions about this. If you're in the mental health field, which I was for a long time, you know, you can't, let's not make broad generalizations about this either. However, you can talk about things that perpetrators have in common. So I was about to ask, what makes a female perpetrator, and is it fundamentally different than what may or may not make a male perpetrator?
It's very similar. So I have a list of 72 reasons why people might
72? Well, that ought to carry us to the top of the hour. Right. Okay. Well, tell me. Tell us a few of them.
Yeah, a few of them. So it runs the gamut from, you know, this behavior being modeled as a child. So they may have grown up in abusive households, so they think that that's how to be. It may be that the person was pedestalized as a child. So,
that's an interesting word, pedestalized. And you know what? Everybody knows what you mean by that. Put on a pedestal.
Exactly. Right? So if you get this idea as a child that your way is what should happen, and you go into their relationships with this idea and potentially extract a price from your partner if they don't comply. So that could be verbal abuse, physical abuse, you know, any kind of lashing out when you don't get your way. The motivating drives in partner abuse are to control, demean, or punish. So there's a lot of different reasons
about
why
control,
somebody might behave.
It's always about control.
Control, demean, or punish.
Yeah.
So another, you know, some other things could be, they could be just lacking in skill. So they are, they don't have good communication skills. They don't have good anger management skills. It could be that there's mental illness. I see a lot of cases where anxiety drives controlling and demanding behavior. It could be a personality disorder, like borderline personality disorder or narcissism. Those are some of the things I can think of why people are abusive. You know, self-defense is one reason why somebody might do something that could be counted as abusive. It wouldn't be abuse if it was genuinely self-defense. But it's the excuse given, this sort of get out of jail free card that's given to females instead of looking at all the other reasons.
Listen, we're going to take one more quick break and then we're going to wrap up on the other side. Can we do that?
Sounds great.
Sounds like a plan. We're talking to Ann Silvers, and she is the author of Abusive Men by Women. It's almost like this is a just among the many topics we are somehow not allowed to talk about. And that's why we're talking about it here on Spouting Off. So we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we'll be back with Ann Silvers to wrap this up. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit LibertyHealthShare.org. That's LibertyHealthShare.org.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. You're listening to the Friday edition, which includes Cash Friday. Go out, spend some cash. Spend some change and then, or spend some cash and then see if they refuse to give you change. There is not a change shortage, ladies and gentlemen. There isn't. Just as an aside, we'll get back to our guest in a minute. So I went out and bought a soda at a 7-Eleven store, and I was told, sorry, there's a change shortage. We can't give you any change. And the guy, it was terrible. The guy was incensed. He was ready to have me arrested because I said, I want my change back. He said, I can't give it. Don't you see the sign? I said, okay, fine. So I went in my purse, and I just happened to have, I don't know, 78 cents. And I did have the proper change. But before I could take out the proper change, he took the soda away from me and refused to sell it to me. And he was ready, and he threw it out. Unbelievable. So no longer are you as a customer, the person that they understand pays their salary. You're an annoyance to them. You're not a customer. So go shop at places where they treat you like a person. We went across the street to a truck stop, in which I said, hey, do you have any change shortage? Yeah, are you having a change shortage here? He said, nah, we're not. Great. Can I have a soda? And that's how that went. We're living in a matrix, ladies and gentlemen. We're living in an alternate universe. Either you play along and you get poisoned by it, or you stand up and say, sorry, I ain't playing that game. We're not doing it. Another game that it seems like we are playing is that all women are victims and all men are perpetrators, just like all white people are not perpetrators and all black people are victims. All black people are not criminals. So this all stuff is what the same people who told us about racist stereotypes are now perpetrating on the rest of us. It's this sense that we're all just a member of a collectivist group, and that's all we are. We are wrapping up our discussion with author of the book, Abusive Men by Women. Her name is Ann Silvers. She's a counselor, a relationship coach, an analyst living in Washington State. Before we get back to the subject of the book, you're living in Washington State. What area of Washington State are you living in, if I may ask?
Oh, I live in Gig Harbor, which is on the peninsula.
Ah, have you seen your state change in any way, for the better, for the worse? In recent couple of years, the state has changed quite a bit, hasn't it?
I love Washington. I don't have anything negative to say about it.
Well, good. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay. So let's get back to the book here. And did you get any pushback from people about daring to write about this subject, that women can be perpetrators and men can be victims?
Yeah. And I do actually, yes, I did get backlash. And I like to use the terms that somebody is doing abusive behavior and the person, the man, like a woman is being abusive, the man is a target of the abuse. I think men don't recognize themselves in the word victim. So I use the word target.
Well, no one really wants to see themselves as a victim, except that we're living in a victim derby right now, where if you can claim victimhood by virtue of some way or some aspect of your birth, then you get a pass. And that's just plain wrong, isn't it? I mean, we're supposed to have blind justice in this country where people are judged on their actions.
Yeah, and the word probably has become more and more loaded and made it harder and harder for men to see themselves in that frame.
Yeah.
But you're
also being the victim of abuse, which it doesn't mean you're a permanent victim, but you have been victimized by abuse. And it's so easy for people who legitimately are victimized to think they did something to deserve it, right?
That's very true. That's very true. It can easily go to the place of, well, this would not have happened, especially for a man, to think this would not have happened if I hadn't done X, Y, Z, and the other person is telling them, I wouldn't have had to do this if you hadn't done X, Y, or Z.
Which is a supreme rationalization, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, and sadly, again, and again, you don't have to comment if you don't want to. That's what we're seeing with our government. I see so many similarities. You know, the reason we're going to force this vaccine on you is because you didn't comply like I told you to. In other words, the option of liberty was never an option. There was never an option to say no, you know, and I have a motto. If you can't say no, your yes means nothing. So if you don't have the option of saying no, you were a slave a long time ago if they're going to force you into something. So your silence is deafening. You want to sell books. That's what you want to do. What else do you want to say about this subject? I'm not kidding. What else do you want to say about this subject that we have not covered? And then we'll wrap this up. And I appreciate so much you coming on. It's an important subject and it makes people think.
I appreciate you having me on too. And I think it is that. I'm eager for more conversations about this topic because men are suffering in silence in this situation. There's abuse piled upon abuse in terms of they can be being abused by their partner, and then if they try and reach out and they're not met with some understanding, then they will, you know, retreat and think they're freakish. This is only happening to me. I must be bad and wrong. Mm-hmm. And then we've trained men that they should be able to fix things. They should be in control of the situation, that they're responsible.
Or they should toughen up and be a man and don't talk about it. You know,
exactly.
You're not allowed to talk about it. You're not allowed to hurt about it. None of that are you allowed. And it was these people who've stereotyped men who said men are always enculturated not to have feelings, to have nothing but anger. And yet now, if they have feelings about being abused, they're not allowed to talk about it. What a paradox, right?
Well, yeah, I think it's part of man law, and we're all contributing to training males to be that, and we need to stop doing that.
I think so, too. I think we also need to stop using terms that are, again, I don't believe in banning any words. You know, you can get angry at the words, but I'm not going to tell people they can't use it. I mean, the thought police, the word police, no. But it is outrageous to brand masculinity as toxic. What do you think about that in our last minute or two left?
Well, that's loaded. And I could see that it makes men feel inherently bad for just being male, and that's not a good thing for us to be doing.
Toxic masculinity is so transparent. You know, go after men and try to emasculate them, basically. We have to wrap this up. Tell everybody how they can find your book, Abuse of Men by Women.
So one of the ways is to find it on Amazon. Also, you can visit my website, annsilvers.com, no E on Ann. And you can find a lot of blog posts on there about the subject and also ways to get my book and resources for men for mental health. And
no E on Ann. How many times have you said that in your life?
A lot.
No E on Ann. Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Fascinating topic. We so appreciate the generosity of your time.
Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. That about does it for us here on Spouting Off and Cash Friday. Have a wonderful weekend. Go out, spend some cash, exercise not only your First Amendment rights, but all of your rights. because at this point, use it or lose it, baby. Go out, lawfully protest if that's your thing, and defy tyranny. That's my one of my new mottos, defy tyranny. Write me, call me, whatever, send a stool pigeon. No, send a homing pigeon and send me a message at Karen@KarenCataline.com. That's Spouting Off for this week. Thanks to everybody at BBS Radio and HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. Tune in next Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday for more of Spouting Off, because there's going to be oh so much to spout off about here on Spouting Off.